Before the coming of this faith, we were held in custody under the law, locked up until the faith that was to come would be revealed. So the law was our guardian until Christ came, that we might be justified by faith. Now that faith has come, we are no longer under a guardian. So in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourself with Christ. There is neither Jew or Gentile, neither slave nor free, nor is there male and female, for you are all in one in Christ Jesus. If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. What I am saying is that as long as an heir is underage, he is no different from the slave, although he owns the whole estate. The heir is subject to guardians and trustees until the time is set by his father. So also when we were underage, we were in slavery under in elemental spiritual forces of the world. But when the time had fully come, God sent his Son, born of woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive adoption to sonship. Because you are his sons, God sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts. The Spirit calls out, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but God's child. And since you are his child, God has made you also an heir. Thank you.
Can I just have the white slide? Just a quick little thing. I just thought I'd bring a few things that something we've been looking at in boys' group. We were looking at the indescribable video, and we've just celebrated Christmas, and it's amazing. God with us, Emmanuel, and that blows my mind. And when we think about it, it's incredible. The God of this universe, of which we don't even know how big, it's the known universe. And some of the stuff I can't claim at all. This is text from material from Louis Giglio, if you've heard of him. But it's incredible. The picture that we could just show, the first picture, it looks like someone's had their thumb over the lens or something. But that's actually a picture from 4 billion miles away of Earth. And 4 billion miles, not really that far in terms of our universe and our galaxy. But that's us from 4 billion miles away. It's not that far. You might think, where are we? Next slide. Just there, if you haven't. That's us. And someone, a guy called Carl Sagan, when he first saw the picture, he said, look again at that dot. That's here. That's home. That's us. On it, everyone you've loved, everyone you know, everyone you've ever heard of, every human being who ever was, lived out their lives. Every hunter, forager, every hero and coward, every creator and destroyer of civilization, every king and peasant, every young couple in love, every mother and father, hopeful child, inventor, explorer, every teacher of morals, every corrupt politician, every superstar, every supreme leader, every saint and sinner in the history of our species lived there on a mote of dust suspended in a sunbeam. Does that not make you feel small and insignificant in the vast universe that we live in? Only by chance or by God's provision was Earth caught in a sunbeam that was reflecting off the spaceship, which was called Voyager 1, that we can actually see us. Another sort of description is sort of our our solar system, of which we know we're sort of an insignificant planet, is if that was the size of a 5p coin, if our solar system, the Milky Way, would be the size of the North American continent. So it just gives us a little bit of two things. It shows us how small we really are, but also how big God is. And God, who made that all, he came down to that pale blue dot to be with his people, to save them. And yes, a lot of people say if our universe was just designed or is just inhabitation for humans, it's far too small. There must surely be other life forms out there. I say 100% the universe is far too big for our inhabitation. But if it was purely just to show off the splendor of God, then it's the right size, of which we don't even know the extent of. And I just want to think back to originally when God made heaven and earth and human beings and Adam and Eve in the story. The original plan was God walked in the Garden of Eden with Adam and Eve. He walked in the cool of the day with them. And that was the original plan A, to spend just a friendship with them and just enjoying a loving friendship. And someone, I heard a description of the Trinity, and up until recently, I've always boggled at the mind of the Trinity, like the way the Trinity works. If we go just the next slide. So you've got God, if you click one, God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and you can most probably guess where this is going. And they are joined by love. And it says God is love. And because of that unity with one another, they are one. And by that unity, they are God. And it is love that is the essence of that, of who our God is. And he's invites us into a relationship. And in the passage we read, it's describing two types of sons that you could try and be. And one wanting to be, two of them both wanting to be in the relationship, both wanting a relationship with this loving Father. But one goes about it saying, I'm a good person. I work hard at school or in paid work. I respect my fellow colleagues or students. I respect teachers or my employer. I rarely get into trouble or break the law, whether it's speeding or not. I'm kind to people. I'm charitable. I have high moral standards. Even I read the Bible and follow most of, if not all, the guidelines, rules. In the world's eyes, this person, this son, is a great moral example, one to follow. He is good enough to go to heaven. Surely he's good enough to go to heaven. But as someone said, it's like spraying deodorant on dog poo. It all leads to the question, what is good enough? We can try to list all our good deeds, but against perfection, good luck. The other son simply says, I'm not good enough. Look how dirty I am. God is so superior to me. How can I ever reach him? There is no way I'm getting to God unless Jesus cleans me. So where it says we are, there's neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, nor is there male or female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus, for you belong to Christ. In verse 26, it says, you are children of God through faith, for all of you were baptized into Christ, have clothed yourself with Christ. And so the first challenge for the new year, as we go into New Year's Eve, is if you're here today and you aren't in that loving relationship, it's a simple swap your imperfection for the gift of perfection of Jesus Christ. And it's such a gift. We can't do anything to get it. We can only accept. Nothing else but faith, we are given perfection in Christ. By faith, we can have the most amazingly awesome friendship with the God of the universe. It's a gift if you accept it. And the next challenge for anyone who calls himself a Christian, in verse 6 of chapter 4, it says, because you are his sons, God sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, the Spirit who calls out Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but God's child. And since you are his child, God has made you also an heir. And a few sort of, do we live like we know we are children of God? To live like we know Jesus lives in us? To live like we know Jesus is coming back? Do we talk to our Father as Dad or Daddy? Do we tell him about our day, good or bad, mundane or exciting? Do we live as heirs or citizens of heaven? Do we grasp how privileged we are able to talk to God who made it all? Do we know how much it cost? Do our lives reflect the gravity of it all?